action, we're gonna take something out of order. I understand Catherine Wilson is here. Sue, would you read 101 again?
101, request of Catherine Wilson to address council regarding saving Terminal 1 for a film studio.
Ms. Wilson, come on forward. Sorry, you got stuck apparently on I-5.
Oh.
And we do have your handout, so
thank you so much.
All we need is your name, and you have about 3 minutes to come up.
Okay, I wanted to just thank you guys for letting me do this. And if I'm talking too loud, let me know. I can't hear anything. I got a head cold from Grimm. my name is Catherine Wilson, and I wanted to say hello to the esteemed mayor and council, and I want to thank you today for hearing me speak. And I am a sixth-generation Oregonian who's worked in Oregon film for 47 years. My husband and I, he's on Grimm, have commuted to Portland for 42 years and have worked on nearly every major motion picture and television show and series shot here since then, about 50 of them. You can imagine how much change we've seen in Portland since the early 70s, especially looking through a camera lens as a location scout or trying to get films here. Every time a period era of neighborhood gets gentrified, we feel we lost a location, possibly a film and jobs, but there is a solution. The solution to this is a film studio, and many people have tried to create one here because our industry really needs it. I've tried for a year now to save Terminal 1 for this reason and was told by an office that they liked the plan, but it wouldn't fly with the state regarding the zoning, only then to be told by a state representative that that wasn't true and to talk to a specific someone else on this council who didn't return my inquiries. I know you are busy people. You work so hard. But perhaps it can still be saved because, and you can save it, Terminal 1, because it fits incredibly well with Goal 1 of your plan. In all fairness, part of the problem in my original proposal was having a film academy teaching young people the industry in an HI overlay studio zone. So I've now prioritized the plan to be solely for an industrial studio, as we can continue to mentor young people elsewhere and on location to meet most or all of Goal 1's other criteria. So please, as an Oregon pioneer filmmaker, and in the name of my ancestors, I beseech you to look seven generations into the future regarding Terminal 1. Inarguably, the last great place for a film studio in Portland, I beseech you to put the land in a land bank and river bank for future generations and stop the sale of it in March for the following reasons. A, it is on the river and being sold to the highest bidder, which we all know can be problematic in the long run. Two, it's 400 feet from a new residential development and is in the Northwest 23rd filmmakers' beloved quadrant, the restaurants, everything. A film studio is industrial, but also transitional, as opposed to a fracking gas shipping port, for example. C, it is perfect as is for a film studio, and its old-growth clear-fruit building is irreplaceable. You know better than I do the huge amount of rent money films can pay to rent the other buildings in town you own. They would pay a lot more for this one because it would save them hours of labor and gas costs and the environment to have everything in one place, including boats. And last but not least, the beauty of Terminal 1 is that it has incredible light exposure and it's possible to shoot period films without overhead wires. We can also save valuable city structures from demolition by moving them onto the site to create a backlot village and also take advantage of the breathtaking river view of Portland's incredible bridges. We can create much-needed center for our widespread film.
I have to ask you to close. First, thank you very much for coming. Two, I apologize if you have not received responses to your inquiries. Since the property falls within the Bureau of Environmental Services portfolio, and since it is currently being marketed as surplus property, and it's also in an industrial overlay, so there are some complications, what I will commit to you is we'll give you a response to your proposal. I personally, as someone who was at the Grimm celebration of the 100th episode. I hear you loud and clear about the value of having a sound studio. There are some land use and legal reasons as to why this may not work, but I don't want to prejudge it. I want to get you a thoughtful response. And for those of you who don't know the location that Ms. Wilson is referring to, it's the temporary home now of Tracktown, and it's where the track, which is going to be moved to the convention center for the big event in March or April, is currently housed. It is a magnificent structure, and it is something like 16 acres of prime industrial land. We'll take a look at your proposal and get your response. And again, I apologize if you have felt we haven't been responsive. Commissioner Fritz?
Ms. Wilson, thank you for taking the time to get here from Eugene and to give your proposal. Wow.
Thank you.
I want to just do a public service announcement. If you're not sure which commissioner or city bureau is responsible for a particular question or comment or request, you can always email cityinfo@portlandoregon.gov. or call 503-823-4000. That's the Information and Referral Service in the Office of Neighborhood Involvement. They are absolutely fantastic at finding the right office to take care of things. So if you don't get a response from a commissioner's office or even before that, email cityinfo@portlandoregon.gov, and they will find you the right person. I'm glad you came here today. Thank you.
Thanks for coming. Sue, we've got two time certains remaining. We're a little behind schedule. Let's start with time certain item number 104.
104, accept the quarterly Technology Oversight Committee report from the Chief Administrative Officer.
Welcome. Who wants to kick this off?
I will, and I'm sorry that we're not as cute as fourth graders, but we do have information.
It's a hard act to follow.
Good morning. I'm Jen Clodius. I am a Senior Management Analyst with the Office of Management and Finance, and I'm staff support for the Technology Oversight Committee. With me are Jeff Baer, the Director of the Bureau of Technology Services, and Ken Neubauer, Commissioner Fish's representative to the TOC. We're here to present the report for the TOC's quarter from October to December 2015.
Move the mic a little closer if you would.
Sure.
It slides. Just want to make sure we can all hear you. Thank you.
This is the quarterly report from October through December 2015. As you know, you each have appointed a member to the TOC. The other members are Josh Mitchell, Wilf Pinfold, Diana Garcia, and Colleen Gadbois. We're going to project the dashboards that you have in front of you. Each dashboard contains information from the project management staff and from the quality assurance contractors and from the TOC. Please note that the TOC did not meet in December, so the dashboards you see are as of the November meeting. However, Jeff is going to give you the update through January so that you'll have the current information. So, Jeff.
Thank you. Thank you, Jen. Commissioner Fish, members of City Council, Jeff Baer with the Bureau of Technology Services. And I do want to provide a few brief comments on several updates to the report that you do have in front of you, and which covers that 90-day period from October through December. And let's see which one we've got up first.
I tap.
So I'll follow in the same order as the report is. I want to give a brief summary of some of the activity that has happened on ITAP specifically. And even though you'll see these are still in red with the scope, schedule, and budget, there does continue to be a lot of activity and progress being made through this project. And it's moved past the initial demonstration phase, which was to pursue, and we are in this process of pursuing another review period over the next 3 to 5 months to really monitor and gauge the vendor's ability to manage the various work streams that are going forward. And I think this is one of the more critical periods of time that we're going to be pursuing to really determine the project level of work that can occur and can be sustained over a much longer period of time, and we'll come to a decision point at the close of that demonstration period. So, and I know Paul Scarlett from Bureau of Development Services and his team are here, and I know that they'll provide a lot more detail about the current progress that's being made, so I'll reserve comments for that on the ITAP. I'll turn it over to Ken Neubauer.
Great. Thank you, Jeff. Hello, Commissioners. My name is Ken Neubauer, and I'm here to present the Technology Oversight Committee's quarterly report for October to December. The first project is the Information Technology Advancement Project, also known as ITAP. This project develops a paperless permit and case management process and allows complete online access to the permitting and case review services. Some of the project's deliverables include digitizing and online access of historical permits and property information, implementation of updated permit and case review information management system, online case and permit applications and review services, mobile online access for field staff, and implementation of an automated queuing system. The TOC, from a status perspective, the TOC continues to have concerns around all aspects of the project, duration, budget scope, and overall performance. Some of the accomplishments of this particular quarter was the project team continues to work on amending contracts to remedy contract gaps and rebaseline the project. At the 60-day period of the 90-day phase, the Land Use 2 module is on schedule, but other modules are slipping. Some of the upcoming milestones for the next quarter were rebaselining the project and pursuing a big bang full scope delivery with not to exceed date of November 2018. Again, risk concerns and comments from the TOC. As I noted earlier, the TOC continues to be concerned about all aspects of the project. As you can see from our dashboard, every component of this project is red, and we did not see any change in sight.
Jeff? No further comments.
The next project is the Lien Accounting System. The Lien Accounting System is used to record and manage assessments and liens for the city, as required by city charter and Oregon state law. The application was written in old programming language and was the last remaining application on the mainframe, which was scheduled to be decommissioned by July 1st, 2015. Because of the tight timeline and resource constraints, the decision was made to rewrite the existing application using a more modern programming language and transferring it to a Microsoft Windows platform. Status of this project, it is complete. The accomplishments for the quarter were the application was launched, was transitioned from project to management and operations. There are no upcoming milestones. And under the risk, comments and concerns, while the project was several months late and over budget, it has completed and the mainframe has been decommissioned. Major accomplishment.
And I would just add one note about following Ken's comment that we did go live in October. All systems were cut over. It is operating as we intended it to be. And as Ken noted, we've actually decommissioned the mainframe and moved it off of the data center. So it's actually off the premise.
Thank you, Jeff. The next project is the Payment Card Industry PCI Payment Gateway Project. Description of this project is the city is required to meet payment card industry and data security standards as part of the merchant service contract, which is required by card networks, Visa, MasterCard, American Express, Discovery, so on and so on. At the time, the city did not meet those standards and was required to remediate the card processing environment or adopt other means of processing card payments to enable the city to be compliant by December 31st of 2015. At the time this quarterly report was inked, the TOC had minor concerns about the project's deadline. However, we saw significant progress, which enabled us to be encouraged. Accomplishments of that quarter were the gateway was 98% complete by mid-November, Elevon pen pad solution was deployed, and Treasury and Elevon were providing training. The upcoming milestones were to complete the policy and procedures documentation and complete the project. And under risk and concerns, the TOC saw a high level of commitment at all levels to mitigate issues and to complete the project on the target date. Jeff?
Yeah, I'll provide just a couple more updates on that. As of today, all PCI cardholder data has been removed from the city networks and systems, and the payment gateway migration has been completed, and all the remaining transactions have been encrypted. So it's our opinion that as of the end of December, on December 31st, that the city is in a PCI compliant status, and we are simply waiting the attestation from the external auditor reports to confirm our compliance status. And I will say that on January 15th, we did receive the attestation of compliance for the Parks Bureau.
Do you want us to hold comments until you've gone through the whole report? Is that easier? Let's do that. Let's work through the report, and then we'll have some comments. Thank you.
Congratulations, Jeff. The next and the last project is the VersaCAD Computer-Aided Dispatch VCAD Hardware Refresh. The VCAD system is operated by the City of Portland's Bureau of Emergency Communications, BOAC, and is used by public safety agencies throughout Multnomah County to connect the community and emergency services responders. It's past due for a lifecycle replacement of the system's underlying hardware. The VCAD Hardware Refresh Project updates the system's hardware environment in a manner that meets BOAC business requirements, BTS support requirements, and aligns with the vendor's recommended technical specifications. In this quarter, the TOC accepted this project for oversight. Their major accomplishments were the our initial report, and the technical teams are working with the vendor to prepare the new VCAD development environment. Upcoming milestones for the next quarter were to install and configure the development environment. Under risk and concerns, while the schedule is short, the TOC believes there is little risk, even if there is some slippage for this particular project. Jeff?
And a couple of updates on the VCAD hardware refresh is that some of the major developments this past quarter have occurred in the development environment has been completed, tested, and approved, and signed off by the city. And we are pursuing developing the production environment along with the training development environment and also disaster recovery so that when we do cut over, we have a failover system in place for those critical public safety systems.
That's all.
Thank you very much. I think we're going to have a few questions, and then we'll have more to follow. If I could just take a moment to address the PCI payment gateway. First of all, I have firsthand experience as to what a tremendous achievement this was. Since there were a handful of bureaus that created more challenges than others, I just want to thank the team, thank you for tremendous work. And it was also a challenge, I think, to do communications with the public because this is a, we were required to meet an industry standard even though there was no existing threat to the data. And that was a hard message to get out to the public that there was no clear and present danger, but there was a new standard we had to meet, and therefore we had to make these changes. One casualty of the process was we had to discontinue auto pay until this was complete. Do you have a sense, Jeff, as to when we might be able to, let's say at the Water Bureau, offer our customers auto pay again?
We're still working through that process. I know one of the systems that we're looking at implementing is this software called Invoice Cloud for bill presentment and payment. And so we're still working through that process. I don't have a defined date. I can get you something to you specifically on that once we get a little bit closer.
Well, it turns out we had, I forget the number, like 30, 40,000 customers who used auto pay. We probably heard from just about all of them. And we are very eager to migrate them back to auto pay because it is a convenience that a lot of our customers like. So congratulations, though, for successfully completing the underlying task. And we look forward to working with you to get auto pay back up and running. Colleagues?
Thank you as always for your good work.
Do you have other people here who?
There are folks here to talk about ITAP if you have questions.
Hear any? So let's see if there's anyone here to testify. Who?
Charles Johnson signed up to testify.
Mr. Johnson, the floor is yours.
Good morning, Commissioners. It was interesting to hear this presentation in this latest version without so much agony over the permitting ITAP problem, although I do think it would be good to just hear, have read out some of the total expenditures and the exact number of months or years we're behind on that project. More interest to me is the hardware changes for the 911 center and seeing if there's any way that that can be accelerated and partnered with the recently reviewed plan to give us 911 by text. And a little bit of talk about why we think we can track that program, text 911, more quickly than this complete hardware update. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Anyone else like to be heard on this report? Hearing none, can I get a motion to accept the report?
So moved.
Second.
Sue, would you please call the roll?
Fritz.
Well, thank you for this report and for the independent oversight. Thank you for staff in Development Services, Commissioner Saltzman. I know you're continuing to diligently work on the challenges of the ITAP project. It's very interesting to me to see a hardware update for the VersaTerm computer-aided dispatch system, which, of course, I oversaw the complete renewal of that system when I was in charge of emergency communications. And sure enough, it turns out, it is 4 years later, and many of us have updated our own computers in the last 4 years, and the technology just continues to change. So I know if Commissioner Novick were here, he would thank Lisa Turley and her team in BOAC for their diligence in making sure that the emergency system in Portland and Deford, the entire Multnomah County, continues to serve the needs of our citizens. I particularly want to thank staff in Parks and in the Office of Neighborhood Involvement involved in taking in money for permits and other things. I know that there's been an entire city team working on the payment card industry standards, as well as the people in the Office of Management and Finance. And so congratulations, everybody, for a non-story that, in fact, we did it very well and we got it done on time. Thanks to all. Aye.
I was very proud to partner with Dan a number of years ago in creating the Technology Oversight Committee. And this, as Commissioner Fritz reminded us recently when we were discussing oversight of the Portland building, this has become the model for engaging community members. Engaging community members with particular expertise in helping us do oversight. And this, I think, it has become the model. In fact, it's such a good model that I recently admonished another group and asked them if they would use the color coding, because the color coding actually makes it a lot easier to follow and track this. Thank you for your good work. And just to put a human face on this, again, the Water Bureau reaches a lot of people through their systems. We were heavily impacted by the technology protocols. We are urging as many customers as possible to move to monthly billing. And I hope everyone here who has not already signed up for monthly billing does so. And let me just put it this way. I was able to sign up for monthly billing. And if I can do it, I really believe anyone can do it. And the beauty of monthly billing is you instead of getting a bill every 3 months and experiencing sticker shock, you pay your utility bill the way you pay all your other utility bills on a monthly basis, and you track usage. But there's been some changes in how you enter information. The amazing thing is, after all this technology upgrade and compliance work, our system is now easier to navigate. And I can't say that always happens when we have these dicey technology issues. Actually, I think it's become easier and more intuitive. So thank you for that on behalf of all the Water Bureau customers. Thank you to Ken Neubauer, who is an expert in technology issues working at the Standard. And thanks to all the other citizen committee members for their time and commitment to this process. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I just want to add my thanks to the committee members. We do very much appreciate your work, and even when it's incisive and painful sometimes to hear. But that's what you're there for, and that's what we're here to hear. So thank you very much. Aye.
Thank you all. I'm pleased to announce that we're only 5 minutes, we're only 10 minutes behind the next time certain.